This is Music Respawn. I'm Kate Remington here with members of the Videri String Quartet, violinist Matthias Souza and violinist Eli Bishop, who was the violinist on this incredible quartet's project, violist Rosalie Samter, and cellist Jeremiah Barkus. And it's just, it's so wonderful to have a chance to talk with you again and get a follow-up to the quartet's project. So real quick, why don't we just bounce around? Everybody can say hi.
Hi, Kate. It's so good to be back. We really enjoy our conversations with you. So I'm violist Rosalie Samter, and so great to be back.
Yeah. Hi, Jeremiah.
I'm cellist Jeremiah, and I have a quartet's problem.
Hi, Jeremiah.
Hey, Kate. I'm violinist Eli Bishop. Good to see you again. Glad to be doing this with you again.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for coming on board with this. And yeah. Matthias, it's great to have a chance to talk with you again, too.
Hi, Kate. Yeah, this is Matthias, violinist. And I apologize in advance for maybe sounding a little muffled, but I am in a place to record this interview with a mask on. So. But
well,
I can hear
you
perfectly. That's... So there.
Okay, good.
I feel like it's very fitting for our project that one of us is wearing
a
mask.
Absolutely. Yeah, okay. The rest of us are all by ourselves in our little bunkers, and so we're all fine. But just to sort of bring everybody up to speed, the Quartet's project began over the summer with the idea of soliciting contributions and arrangements of music from video games that were set in a post-apocalyptic world or had some connection with how life suddenly changed from normal to not normal. And it was such an interesting idea for a project, for a recording project. So I guess right off the bat, I would love to know what the response was from arrangers and composers. And I don't know who would like to go first, but I'd love to know, you know, how many submissions did you guys get?
I think we were all quite happily surprised when we did get the number of submissions we got, that we actually ended up getting a ton of interest that we kind of, because it was such a short window of time. So we opened the arranging contest July 1st and we closed it on July 31st or August 1st, I guess. And we ended up getting 65. It was around 65. I'm terrible at counting, but we got like around 65 submissions, which was kind of a lot more than we expected. So we were really quite happy about that. And we were kind of blown away by the level. It was pretty incredible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We made the mistake of thinking we could do the judging in one day. It ended up taking like a full three.
Yeah.
Like, by the end of that, we were just like, I don't want to see you guys for a few days. Can we just take a break?
I love you all, but there's a limit.
We definitely got our money's worth with Zoom on that.
Very true.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, who were the judges then? I know, Rosalie, you kind of took yourself out of judging so that you could be the liaison between the people who were writing the entries and any questions that they might have had. So who of you guys ended up doing the judging?
The rest of us.
The three. Oh, okay. Yeah, the rest of us. Eli, Matthias, and myself. Rosie was there the whole time, basically, as like making sure if something went wrong, if there was a name on the score that shouldn't have been there, then she basically just was able to like handle all the back end of it, which was made it a much smoother process.
So I sat there with my camera and my mic off and listened to everybody. Pretty interesting. Every once in a while, I got to talk to people, but definitely felt the isolation there.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, did you get submissions from people that you knew that you kind of expected would be in on this?
Definitely.
A few, right?
Yeah. We've worked with the Game Brass quite a bit, and I expected someone from the Game Brass to submit, and indeed, Thomas Kresge did not disappoint.
What I really love is with the final list for the recording that you have planned. It's such a broad mix of games from different eras and games with different subjects. There's a track from Dr. Mario, which is adorable. I mean, it's really cool and it kind of like lightens up the whole thing. And there's also a track from Death Stranding, Ludwig Forssell's soundtrack. And so there's really a broad spectrum there. And what sort of plan did you have with the criteria, or did you just have like a completely open mind when you were
jump in on this?
Sure, Matthias. Yeah,
anyway, because we were actually quite concerned at the beginning when we just, you know, threw this competition out there, that we're like, oh, okay, we're going to throw this competition out there and we might get just, you know, like 50 submissions for The Last of Us or something like that, you know, and then like, how are we going to make, you know, an interesting album? That's the first concern, right? Then the second concern mm-hmm. is like, well, what if like we're going to judge the arrangements, you know, kind of like, you know, in an anonymous space, and really we're looking at each arrangement just on its own, right? Then it's just like, well, what if just the best arrangements are also of like the same game or the same mood, right? And somehow, I don't even know how, like we all judged and we made a spreadsheet with the scores. Then we like looked at the top scores and then we realized, wow, there is actually like a perfect amount of variety there. Anyway, it was a pleasant surprise, at least for me. I mean, that's like what I experienced.
Especially considering we kind of announced everything right around when Last of Us 2 was coming out.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of like, what if we end up having half of our submissions are Last of Us 2 and then it's just a Last of Us 2 dedication album, basically.
There were a lot of submissions from that.
From the Last of Us,
I think like a third of the submissions were either Last of Us or Last of Us 2. So wow. I before they all knew, I was very concerned because I saw all these arrangements coming in and I was like, oh, what if they're all the same game?
Well, because luckily the soundtrack for Last of Us 2 wasn't released until like a good chunk of the way into the process. Because like for the first 2 or 3 weeks, it was just one track available. I don't remember what the track was. One track available for Last of Us 2. And then the full soundtrack was released. And we had a couple of submissions from it, so it ended up kind of working in our favor a little bit, that little delay.
Yeah, I bet. Well, you chose two tracks from Hollow Knight for the album. And so what was it about each one of those that was like a real standout for you guys?
Should we pull up the judging sheets? I mean, it really, I wasn't a judge, so I don't know, but it actually, not being a judge was really interesting to sit back and listen, because I just got to listen kind of as a typical audience member would get to listen. I didn't have to be thinking. And it really came down to, I really think a lot of it was string writing, and a lot of it, like those, when you listened to those tracks, just jumped out.
The Hollow Knight ones to me sounded like great string writing, yeah, but also like kind of choral in a sense. Mm-hmm. So there was pretty clear distinction between the four voices, but they still meshed together really well. Part of that's probably just attributed to the original writing, but I think both of those tracks in particular were handled pretty beautifully with their the interplay between the four voices.
Yeah, the just the quality of the string writing from the ones that the album that you sent me. It's really cool to have a preview of. and yeah, the string writing just is so professionally done. I mean, it just, and so I'm sure that was one of the criteria. And the other thing that we had talked about back in July when the contest had just gotten launched was that, Eli, I know you in particular are really interested in improvising. And so were you able to do any of that on this album?
I think we made it open for improvisation, but I don't think we ended up having any improv on it, did we?
There were a few of the submissions that didn't make it on the album that had improv.
Right. Yeah. And it was cool, you know, that people did that, but we ended up, the ones that didn't have improv or the ones that won just happened to be that way. I guess
we had
less submissions.
There was one track that made into the album that had like a few like slightly randomized sections. I mean, it would have specific pitches written down.
Aleatoric.
Yeah. A little bit of aleatoric writing. Which was really cool. Yeah.
They left open some of the extended techniques available to the string instruments, as like there was a couple of tracks that called for stomps, but sometimes recording stomps just sounds like a muffled mess through a microphone if you just smack the floor. Right. So mine was just like, I tried to record it just like,
yeah.
Oh. I was like, I'm gonna try something new.
Into that, I was like, should we wear dress shoes? Should we wear our soft shoes for this? Tap shoes? What do we need? You know?
Can you specify exactly what stomp you want?
Did you notice that?
Like literally sounded. What's the daughter from Bob's Burgers? Yes, that's what it sounded like the first time. I was just like, I can't send this. No way.
I was proud of my stomp. My stomp was like I wore these like shoes on hardwood. Anyway, I was happy.
Wow, probably gave you a whole new appreciation for all those Foley people and all the different.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I can't do one stomp, let alone like make a crunching noise or do any of the Foley stuff.
Yeah.
So impressive.
Well, I'm curious about what was the most surprising submission that you guys got, the one that just sort of came out of the blue and caught you all kind of off guard.
For me, honestly, it was the Death Stranding. And it was because like the second you listen to it, I think after we listened to that, I don't think anybody said anything for like 30 seconds. Because it just sounded so much like it was written for string quartet.
Thank you.
It's a real standout. Do you want to credit the arranger of that one?
Sure. The arranger is Mark Choi. He's based in London. We're going to actually be interviewing the top three arrangers. And so I've been talking quite a bit with all three of them, and he's just such a nice guy. So it's really, wow. It's been really kind of fun for me that I get to continue these relationships with our arrangers.
One track that jumped out for me was the Dr. Mario one. Also because it was, you know, like, it was not really that we were expecting to get a submission from Dr. Mario. And I thought it was so cleverly done and well written for the string quartet. And it was, I don't know, I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, and the people who arranged music from those early games, the Nintendo games, I think they give themselves a real challenge because those original cues are just so short and they loop and loop and loop. Mm-hmm. And then you have to like create variations. And exactly. The arranger for the Dr. Mario track did just a brilliant job.
So I'm gonna shout it out, but Thomas Kresge did arrange that track.
Oh, cool.
So I know we already mentioned him, but
yep.
I feel like it was time to shout that one out.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, we mentioned the like one of the top arrangers. Who were the top three that we haven't talked about?
So Mark Choi with the Death Stranding track. He mm-hmm. came in first, and then we had two runners up, and we had Jesse Myers who arranged The Shelter from A Plague Tale, and mm-hmm. I feel terrible because I'm going to say his name incorrectly. Christian Picaud. It's a French name, and I feel so bad. I'll learn how to say it.
Let's ask. Let's just say all of the variations, and then you can just cut in which one is actually right.
I will find out the correct pronunciation of his name on Wednesday, and maybe post a small Facebook. This is how to correctly say Christian's uh-huh. name. But Christian Picaud, we're going to go with that for now. He arranged Amusement Park from Nier Automata. So
that one is amazing. I did kind of like an A-B comparison between the way it sounded in the game and his arrangement. And it's just beautiful. He kept the character of that original soundtrack just so well, and yet made something completely new. And so that one like really blew me away too.
That one was, it was kind of funny, just a little backstory. The guy that's doing all the videos for us, he actually does my filming because I'm not very good at filming. And so he is the biggest fan of Death Stranding. And when he found out that Death Stranding won, he's like, I'm doing that video. And so wow. Then he heard all the music from the other ones, and we looked at, you know, like we looked at gameplay to see like maybe how it should feel. And he actually bought Nier Automata after watching one trailer.
Wow.
And then so I actually got to hear that particular piece in the game. Like as soon as he was playing it, I was like, oh, I know that.
Yeah.
Well, there it is.
So definitely, he really did that. He did that justice. It very much evokes the game.
Thank you. And the other one that I thought was so interesting is The Witch of Hemwick from Bloodborne. And I talked with the composer, Michael Wanmacher, about it. And what was so interesting about how he wrote that cue for the game is that he wrote it backwards. He started with the big finish when you defeat the witch, and then he like stepped it down and stepped it down so that it would have, it would build up to that climax. But I've never heard of a composer for games working that way with boss battle music. So it, I don't know, just a little aside there, I guess, but
that makes that, a lot of that, sense. Like,
yeah. And so that one must've been a fun one to perform.
That one was one of the ones that had a lot of the aleatoric, you know, like stuff in it. So it, like I thought it was, it's, I will say, you know, the whole premise of this project is that we're all recording separately, and it does take out a lot, you know, like, I really think if we were recording a piece like that, well, or any piece, but especially a piece like The Witch of Hemwick, we would have sat down and talked about like, okay, we're going to do this, and then we want to do this. But because of our timeline, it really was just like, all right, the first person who records gets to decide the base work for that.
Another interesting thing is like, so also when we were judging the arrangements, we were also, you know, like we, our arrangers submitted a MIDI mock-up usually, right, of their arrangement. But we are always like listening, just always imagining, you know, as if we were actually playing, and you know, the sound is, you know, not the artificial MIDI sound, but you know, ours. And then that's one that we were listening to, and then listening to the MIDI and going like, oh, okay, I think like, you know, when we play this, you know, it's gonna be really, really cool. And like, we just like have to make sure like this and this happens. And then when we recorded, like we literally just recorded how it was written. It was like, oh yeah, this sounds awesome already. like, you know.
Well, Eli, what were some of the challenges that you had choosing some of the finalists, or, you know, what were some of the things that you thought about as you were picking the ones that ended up on the album?
Well, I should look back at my judging sheet, but I know that basically the main things I was looking for was just that they gave the melody, they passed the melody around well to everybody, that the parts were written well with each other, that the piece developed over time and wasn't just kind of static, or that it didn't grow and then just kind of die off. That's, I mean, these top three all really grow. Actually, pretty much everything in the album grows really well, but that was a big part of it for me. A small thing I noticed was some people were a lot more used to like formatting their scores than others. A lot of people didn't really do much in the way of lining up measures, making things easy to read, but the writing was still good. So some of that was interesting to see. You know, I hope that, some of our feedback to them would be of help in the future as well. But I'm really pretty excited. I'm looking at the list right now. I'm pretty excited that it is such a diverse mix of games, since we were worried about some stuff winning, you know, just having half an album of The Last of Us, right? Yeah, like it's exciting to see the Hollow Knight is in there. Like before this, I wasn't really expecting any Hollow Knight would be in there. Mega Man, I was surprised that a Mega Man submission was in there, and it sounded great. And so really, yeah. I'm really happy with the diversity of everything there. Dr. Mario, that one, I remember, I think we had two Dr. Mario submissions, and I think I just started laughing when I first saw it. And I thought, of course, why not? That's like, you know, coming at this whole idea from a different angle that I didn't even think of, but curing this plague with Dr. Mario. It was tough. It was, I think the biggest challenge was just sitting there listening to everything and trying to like really, you know, give everything an equal weight. That's why it took so many days. And I think all of us, even after judging together, went back and listened to everything on our own as well to really make sure that we were as fair as.
Yeah, I think like the first day when we were listening, it's really when it hit us, when we were like going over every single arrangement and being like, well, these are kind of really good, all of them.
Yeah.
And it was like, it's gonna be hard.
I remember thinking, well, it'll be, you know, we've got 60 some submissions, and it'll be really obvious which ones are good and really obvious which ones were bad. And instead, there was a lot that were good. And then there was like, man, which one of these are really good?
Mm-hmm.
Did you play through them before you decided, or did you just decide based on like the MIDI samples that people sent?
For the first round, we mostly just decided based on the MIDIs and the score formatting and stuff like that, kind of what, because that's basically all we had to go on. I know there were some things that I think we each individually went through, because one of the categories was playability. Mm-hmm. So just seeing, I know there were some even that that ended up on the album that I was just like, I don't know if it's physically possible to play. So I was just like, all right, gotta saw away and work my way in. Let's see how we can do it. Ended up being fine, but I know I did some of that. I assume that others did as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were definitely some spots where it's like, wow, this sounds awesome.
How are you, Rosie?
And then looking back, it's like, oh, am I ever gonna be able to play this?
Right.
Yeah.
I had to edit one of my parts because it was too fast. It's really just unplayable on viola. Like if I played all the notes, it would have sounded like mud. So I had to actually go through and kind of take out some of the notes.
I think both me and Eli had this experience of like, you know, after we decided on the arrangement, and then like, we're like, okay, let's tackle and record all of this. And like, we would look at one specific section and be like, oh man, this is really going to be a rough one, like difficult to record and get it right. And then like, you know, we practice to practice, and then like when it's time to record, like it gets recorded like in one take, And then at the same time, like, there's like sections where you're just like, okay, yeah, this is easy peasy. And then like you go to record and it's just like, it takes like 20 takes to get it right.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And we talked about that a little bit. I know, Mateo, as we were messaging about that, there was just certain spots. It's like, why are these four notes so hard? It's like, it's the easiest part of the song. And it feels like I've never played this in my life ever.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, are you imagining that at some point when we can finally have live concerts again, that these will be added into your repertoire? I mean, once you've like really practiced them a lot.
100%. I would love to, once the world reopens, actually like present this whole thing as a concert, you know, where we can play the whole album and then maybe even some of the other tracks, because there's tracks in there that are amazing that it's like, you know, we really did. We're like, okay, these are the ones on the album, but we definitely want to include these others in our repertoire.
The one that I'm really surprised didn't make it onto the album is any of Jessica Kerr's music for Everybody's Gone to the Rapture.
We actually did not get, I think we only got two submissions from that. It was not a lot, you know, like I kind of expected a lot more from Jessica Curry's works as well. And there wasn't, there just wasn't a lot.
Maybe it's a little bit like, I don't know, messing with Beethoven and nobody wants to touch it because it's just
sacred. It also, it was like really like the main point really is like, we really had to choose like the ones that were the best of the already really good ones, you know? So it's like,
that's
the thing that it was so difficult about, like, the judging process, I think, right? Is because like we got so many good submissions.
We have 16 tracks that we're putting on it, so there's a lot that we picked a lot of winners still.
We didn't even stick to our time limit. We went over.
Probably could have made it twice as long, really. It's tough to do that.
Wow. Well, so
Quarantine's part,
right. The B-side.
Yeah. The quartet, so, we're still there.
Well, to me, my takeaway from this album is that even in the midst of these, you know, terrible worlds, these terrible post-apocalyptic worlds that have been created, like Deus Ex and Death Stranding, there's still a lot of beauty in there and a lot of hope. And so I would love to know from each of you what this project has meant to you.
For me, when all this started happening, it's like I was watching my calendar as gig after gig after gig got canceled, and all of my teaching, because I was teaching through a public school, not during the day, but so all of my teaching disappeared, and it's like we weren't able to rehearse because we were not, you know, we weren't able to travel, and it's like I just felt my world kind of falling apart around me. And I was like, I can't let this quartet dissolve. Like, that was a huge part. I was like, this is what I love and this is what I want to keep doing. How can I do that? How can I keep playing music with the people that I love? And I mean, it just kind of, I was Facebook messaging a friend and it just kind of popped into my head and I was like, hey, what do you think about this? And he was like, well, that's a little weird. But then the more I thought about it, the more I was like, wait, we need something like this. You know, like people are sitting at home and it's like, I don't know about the rest of you, but my anxiety was through the charts. And it kind of gave me a way to focus and a way to think that it's like, okay, all these things happen, but it's not going to stop what we're doing. And it's not going to stop us being able to share what we do with others. And it's going to give other people an opportunity to do something instead of sit around and worry about the future.
Yeah. Jeremiah, what about you? What has this project meant to you?
It was kind of like a, not eye-opening, but kind of world-opening perspective, because like you could feel, as Rosie was saying, basically you could feel like everything closing in because, you know, I mean, yeah, we have Zoom and Skype and FaceTime and all those things, but like it's different than meeting friends or even just seeing colleagues every day. So being able to actually expand our horizons a little more and work with new people, meet new people across the world just because like we're doing this competition style call for arrangements essentially. And it was kind of eye-opening just to see the amount of talent out there that, like, I don't know, we tend to work with the same, not necessarily the quartet meaning, but, like, we as people tend to work with the people that we're familiar with, yeah. right? So it was kind of a nice way to just, like, force ourselves out of our comfort zone and continue to expand and grow and learn in a situation that was totally out of our control. Yeah. So, like, at my job right now, they're one of the things that they kind of, I don't want to say preach, but they say every day is basically just control your controllables. Mm-hmm. So how you react to something is much more important than whatever happened to you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's so cool. Eli, what about you?
I was just thinking about it. Yeah, it's just like the last gig I did was the first weekend in March, the last live show I did. So I haven't played live since beginning of March. So to be able to work on a musical project like this, it's like the only option in a lot of ways. It's the only option and the best option to be able to do something like this, to get to work on a, you know, an album like this that is in keeping with the times. It's going to be a staple of what things were like, mm-hmm. just everything about it, being able to work with these three other great musicians like this, to meet all of these other arrangers. I'm just excited to have been able to be a part of recording something like this during this time. And it's going to be so different too. Like, I was thinking before we started this call, like, it'll be interesting to see what everything sounds like on this record. And then, like, you know, maybe further down the line, we'll record one of these songs all together. I'd be curious to hear the comparison, because on this record, we're going to have four different rooms. You know, everybody's setup is different. I think it's going to sound great still. I mean, everything I've heard so far, it sounds awesome.
Yeah.
But it'll be so unique. So I think just the whole experience has been so interesting, and I'm thankful for it.
Yeah. Yeah. And Mateus, what about you?
Yay, me. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. So for me, I think I was truly really happy to just be able to, in a way, in one way, still produce some kind of abundance to the universe. I don't know. It's like a good way of saying, you know. Also, like, doing that while also collaborating with other people, especially people that we have never had a chance to collaborate with. You know, so in a way, it was awesome to, you know, I've heard so many stories also of close friends of mine, kind of like Jeremiah was saying, you know, like, we usually are close with, like, the people we tend to work with, and, like, so many of them, like, composers or arrangers, like, they had even them had gigs canceled because, like, let's say they had a commission piece that they were going to write for an orchestra now, and then, like, you know, orchestra's not happening anymore, then, you know, they lost the commission or something like that, you know. So then, and then this was a way to help people like that still continue to compose and write and then get some return of it. And then another aspect that was invaluable for me in this project was also, well, first of all, it's not very easy to record bowed string instruments. I just have to say that. And it's very few people that know how to do it and do it well. And in this project specifically, we are collaborating with an amazing sound engineer, Nathan Chandler. Shout out to Nathan. Yay. He's awesome. And, like, he's been helping us. And, you know, I don't know about everyone else, but I've been learning a lot about recording, you know, and set up the recording, the mics and interface and gain everything better. And it's really, really great.
Wow. Well, just the result of it is just, it's really incredible. And it just kind of captures the whole range of emotions and different situations that people find themselves in games in these, you know, alien worlds. And it's just such a cool project. And honestly, it's going to be this legacy going forward of this, you know, snapshot of this moment in time. So it's just such a cool idea. And it just, it's been so much fun to talk with you at the beginning of it. And now when you guys are in the home stretch. So thank you all so much.
Yeah. And I just, before we go, I want to give a big shout out to every single arranger that was mm-hmm. part of this, because we couldn't do that. We could not have done this without every single person. And even our production team, I mean, Nathan Chandler, like Mateus said, he really, really has been great. I mean, he actually did a Zoom call with me where he was on my dresser and I was playing and would send him a clip. He's like, okay, move the mics over here, you know?
Wow.
So, but yeah, like, And Nate Horsfall is going to do the art for us. And so it's, you know, we have, we have a team that we're lucky to have the team that we do. And we're so lucky to have all these arrangers who were interested in working with us. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Submissions from all over the world.
Yeah, and now they're going to be part of our close circle too.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really cool too. So again, thank you all so much. I can't wait for the full album. It's going to be great. So thanks again.
Thank you, Kate.
Thank you, Kate.
Thank you, Kate.